Hey, hey, it's Erin Postal here with our Ageless Rebels podcast, episode number one. And today I'm here with my awesome husband, Jeff.
Hello, hello.
And we are going to be bringing you some great information over the next, you know, couple months, the next couple years with our podcast. And what you guys can expect is that you're going to, number one, be entertained. You're going to have a lot of fun learning about mindset, health, how to create wealth, and how to make this next phase, this next chapter of your life, actually the best chapter of your life. Because, you know, a lot of people get to their mid-40s and they start to think that it's over, like this is the end. And it's actually, for us, I think, just the beginning of an amazing life ahead. So we want to share some of that with you. But, like, let's just go back, Jeff, to where it all began, how we first met, how we first started. Because when we first met, we certainly did not have the life that we have today, and we've been through a lot of ups and downs. And hopefully, you know, by sharing our story and some of the lessons we learned, we can help other people really create their dream life with their dream partner. So tell us, like, tell everyone how we met. Tell everyone about that.
Okay, so basically, I've been in the Air Force since I graduated high school, joined right out of high school. Went to basic training in Cornwallis and then boarded for my aero engine course. I was an aero engine tech. And ended up getting posted to Cold Lake, Alberta, for, you know, people that don't know that. It's kind of northeastern Alberta, and it is cold. Anyhow, I was up there for many years. As a tech, our postings are quite long. And and that's where I met Erin, my lovely wife. And it was quite the story, and I guess you could touch on it more because you moved up there to see your sister, and we actually met through a friend that introduced us that's actually living here now with us on the island.
Yeah, so you guys, you have to go back to the 80s. You know, remember it was like Top Gun era. This was the time. And I remember finishing my degree, and it was like, okay, move home with my parents or move to an Air Force base. This, and remember, we're talking, you know, Top Gun, Tom Cruise era. So, of course, I picked Cold Lake.
Of course, Cold Lake was a fighter jet pilot, or a fighter base, so there was lots of F-18s there, and lots of Americans and different NATO forces would come around the world. So it was always busy with lots of different militaries. But, yeah, I met Erin. Actually, at the time, I had a girlfriend, and Erin had a boyfriend, and we kind of just hung out, and I guess there is a little bit of a funny story.
I remember the first time I met you, it was also the friends, right? It was all about friends, and this was in the day when you would go to a coffee shop, and there were couches, and I went to go for a coffee, and we walked in, and I thought, and then I just saw you sit on the couch, and it was like that moment, law of attraction moment. We're going to talk about law of attraction, because I'm a manifester. I just manifest great things, like a great guy and opportunities. And I'm going to teach you guys how to manifest exactly what you want in your life. And so here I'd manifested this moment when I walked in and I saw Jeff. And in that moment, I felt, bam, just like a needle, in, like an arrow right into my heart. And I thought, that is the guy I'm going to marry. And honestly, at that time, I mean, I was in a relationship, so was Jeff. It just didn't even make sense. But that moment came right into me, and then it kind of passed. And then we went on to just become buds, and it went from there. But anyhow, so, you know, that was the beginning of when we met, and gosh, we have so many crazy stories about that time in our life. And
For sure.
We had a lot of fun, but at the end of the day, you know, when we first met, we didn't really have a lot. You know, we didn't have a lot of money.
No, lived in a PMQ, which means, private married quarters, you know, little 650 foot square military house on the base, you know, and had a dog.
Yeah, we had our dog, and I think our rent was $300 a month, but we were super happy. And and I think, you know, well, we're just as happy now as we were then. And actually, you know, with happiness studies, what they show, and that regardless of your income, after about 2 years, your happiness level is going to go down to the same level. If you're naturally a happy person, even if you you know, win the lottery or we become destitute, you're going to eventually go back to that same level of happiness. I think that's kind of what's happened to us.
Yeah, for sure. And one thing about Erin, when I first met Erin, and what I found so different from any other girlfriend or relationship I had ever had, that she was definitely a connector. Like, she looked right into your eyes and you felt like, you know, she was giving you every bit of her attention, and it was amazing. And I always said to Erin, you know, especially after we got engaged and married, and you know, she increased, you know, in my mind, how much of a connector she was. And I, and it was funny because when we were younger, I always said, if we could figure out how to make money from the way you connect with people, you would do very well in life, you know, because she just has that knack. And that's one thing that I really noticed different about her. Hence, when we were in Cold Lake and, you know, and I was playing on the rugby team, you know, shout out to the Penguins. I had to move fast because a lot of guys knew what I knew about Erin. So I wanted to win the prize, which I did. Yay. Yeah. It was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, when you find your talent, when you really discover who you are, and then you align that with an opportunity, that's when the sky's the limit financially for you. So, yes, we met in Cold Lake, and we have, you know, we're really fortunate to build an incredible life of freedom, time freedom, financial freedom, where we get to really help a lot of other people. And so, you know, my goal is that we can pay that forward to you guys. So, yeah, so, you know, we spent some time in Cold Lake. That was an amazing opportunity. But there was always in me, you know, this little desire, this little itch to give more, to be, you know, to be more and give back. And so,
well, Erin, what was your job in Cold Lake?
Oh, well, jeepers, back in the day, I was a school counselor and I loved it. I loved every day of it. I probably would have volunteered. So I worked with kids there. I was a school counselor and we had a lot of fun and worked a lot with Aboriginal families and kids, and it was a really great time in my life where, you know, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think I just, funny story, because I think I met you one time. I came to your school, I'm not sure, I think it was Assumption or one of the schools there, and you said, meet me in my office, and the teachers tell me where your office is, and I come in, and no word of a lie, your office was about smaller than a broom closet, I thought. You had a tiny little desk in there, and I was like, wow. Yeah. I guess you got to start somewhere, bottom of
the barrel.
So yeah, that office was, I wish we took a picture of it.
I know, I should have, yeah. So I started out small and just worked my way up and in that program, and I worked at two different schools, and I'll never forget the first day, my first day on the job. And it was, you know, I walked into my school, and you know, when I did a master's degree in counseling, but they don't actually teach you what to say. They teach you, you know, skills and philosophy, but no one ever really teaches you what to say. And I'll never forget my first job, my first day in my high school, my elementary principal, Nick Rollick. And he said, okay, Erin, first job is this class of grade six boys, and you got to help them. They're just off the rails. And, you know, there was no textbook that said how to deal with, you know, grade 11 or 11-year-old boys, right? So you just learn by doing, right? Just learn by doing that. And so, you know, that was a great time in our life. We were there for 8 years and we really wanted to, you know, at that time, it was kind of all about you, Jeff, no offense, but it was about you getting into the search and rescue and doing that job, which was, you know, back then it was tough to get into. It was, it still is elite Air Force, but very, very competitive.
Yeah, and I applied for many, many years. And finally, they opened up what was called a selection in out of Edmonton and then into Jarvis Lake. And yeah, I went on the first selection, got accepted, and there was, I think, 32 of us, and they were going to take 12 at the end, you know. So it's basically a selection like any other kind of SEAL selection or anything, you know. They keep you up at night, limited food, you're always doing physical activities, running through the bush with packs on. Anyhow, you know, short, at the end of that first selection, you know, unfortunately, I wasn't picked up, and you know, and I was like, in my interview, I was like, you know, to the senior staff. I was like, what did I do wrong? Because I thought I did so well in the selection, but it ended up that some of my academic marks weren't up. You know, I never did that great in school. You know what I mean? I actually, back in the day, I actually failed grade 10, back when you could fail. So, and I didn't want to fail anymore because I had a younger sister and she was catching up to me. And the last thing I wanted to do was be in the same grade as her. So anyhow, that said, academics were never a strong point of mine. And so went back to Cold Lake, you know, a little bit upset. Aaron, of course, stuck by me. And I said, after a while, I said, okay, I'm going to try again next year. Aaron, being who she is, got me... Well, no, announced to me a tutor, and it was kind of a funny story because I would take my big military backpack, hike for like 3 kilometers in a trail to where the tutor's house was, and then I go put my backpack, my big rucksack off, and go into the basement, and then I sit in this little room with about 6 or 7 other between, you know, grades, like kids and myself. You know, to work on my math and stuff. And it actually paid off in the end because I went back the next year and did very well and was picked up. And, you know, and my dream came true. And I got to go on the search and rescue course, which got us out of Cold Lake. Because back then, you didn't really get posted as a tech. You had to basically remuster. And that's what I did. And then I went search and rescue technician. And we moved to Comox for the year. It's a year-long course. And we got ourselves a little private married quarters, PMQ here on the base, and spent a year here.
But I think there's a lot of lessons there. Like, a lot of people would have given up. You know, it was that moment. And I remember I was at home and I got the phone call that you didn't get in. And you had been applying on paper. And so on paper is one thing. But then you said, okay, Aaron, when they see me in the bush, like when you're like a bush man, when they see me like starting a fire and doing this and surviving and you're kind of a machine that way. And you said to me, okay, Aaron, well, they picked 12 and I came 13th. And I was like, no, my God, I was so upset. And a lot of people, and we did talk like, okay, what's the next step? And at that point, you had friends leaving. They were going to WestJet. WestJet was just starting to grow and there was an opportunity to go there. And we've been putting our life on hold.
Yeah, we were thinking of, we were still in the renting.
Putting on hold, buying a house, putting on hold for this, putting on hold for that, waiting to have a baby. You know, I was going through infertility, and so. But then you said, "No, we're gonna go for it." And so it takes a lot of courage to suck it up and go to tutoring with 8-year-old kids, and you know, and this is what I love to call, well, the law of attraction is going downstream, right? When things are, all of a sudden they start to flow when it's right. And so we bought this house, our first house. We bought a house. You went to tutoring and things started to flow because, you know, you put the work in, you grinded it, you hiked through the woods, you did the work. We sucked it up. And then all of a sudden, it's like you're going up a hill and then things just started to flow. And lo and behold, the next year, boom, you got in. And I'll never forget that when you got in and we had been going through infertility, we just couldn't seem to have a baby. And I remember the day that you got in and I had my little fertility monitor and I stuck it through the shower curtain. I said, we got an egg. So then we knew, you know, we conceived our daughter that weekend after, you know, a couple years of trying. Then we sold our house and made $20,000. So sometimes you think you know what the best plan is, but God or the universe has another plan. And that's exactly what happened, because had you gotten in the year before, who knows what would have happened. We moved here where I was able to be off work and be with my new baby. We made that money that set us up for the rest of our life.
Sometimes the things that you think are bad at the time end up to be a blessing. And I think we've had a few of those in our lives. We'll probably touch on later. But yeah, and so I guess...
just trusting. When things aren't going your way, just trusting that... You know, I just read that book, The Universe Has Your Back, that there is a bigger plan, but you just keep moving forward, even though, you know, you have those roadblocks, like them saying no, like me going through infertility, like, you know, things like that. You just keep moving forward, and that's when a lot of people will quit, though. And that's what separates, I think, you know, people who win at life and then people who are always struggling because they give up or they change direction and they take their eye off their goal.
And that, and kind of like when we got here for the year SAR course, you know, usually day three of the SAR students could stay in Comox and the rest would be posted across the country. And I had family in BC and, you know, it was a dream of mine to always be posted in Comox. So I had put my name down and so did a couple other, but it ended up a week before the course ended that there was things changed around and whatever happened. And I ended up not being able to get posted to Comox. Well, I was pulled into the office and, you know, last just like a week before grad or 2 weeks before grad said you would be going to Greenwood, Nova Scotia, you know, out of the blue.
And I remember
so
that.
I had to come home through a little queue and say, Aaron, we're not staying here. We're going to Greenwood. And then she's like, we actually, you know, I kind of knew the general area. I know, everybody knows where Nova Scotia is, but where Greenwood itself is, you know, you just know Halifax. And so we looked on the map and I guess that's where we're moving to live. And in the long run, at first, it was kind of overwhelming and like, oh God, I just wanted to be in Comox and do all the mountain rescues in the ocean. And now I'm going to East Coast where last time I was in the East Coast in Nova Scotia with Cornwallis, and trust me, it was not fun. So I had bad memories of Nova Scotia, but in the long run, like Aaron said earlier, it ended up being a really cool part of our life. You know, we had our second child and we're able to buy an acre lot with a creek in the back. There was fish, you know. It was a perfect little house for us in Nova
Scotia. Yeah, for toddlers.
And it wasn't expensive. So where we were, if we would have stayed in Comox, houses were quite expensive. And then in reality, we are now, I got to retire in Comox because I left Comox early in my career. And we went all across the country to different postings, finishing in Comox, which turned out to be amazing because now I'm semi-retired as a reservist here, and I'll never be posted, and I'm living where I wanted to. Did it take longer? Yes.
Yeah, but like if we just go back to that time when you had to, like, you made that decision to not quit and to move forward and go to tutoring and mm-hmm. kind of humble yourself to that. So, do you remember, you know, why you how you did that or what? What was it that made you stick with it and not quit and not give up?
Well, mainly because, well, I wanted to prove to myself that I knew I would make a great SARTech and a good SARTech, you know, and if my academics or my math or, you know, wasn't up to par, which is important when you're a paramedic and you're giving medications and drugs, you have to know your dosages and stuff because you could kill somebody. So I realized they weren't just doing it because of these tests. It was very important and it would help you on the actual SAR course because you do your paramedic course on and it's very intense. It's like being taught through a fire hose. So you know, and it made me feel good as I increased, you know, my learning and I was doing well in tutoring with the tutor. And yeah, and I had no doubt then when I went to the selection the following year that whatever they threw at me, you know what I mean? Because I knew I was tough enough, strong enough, fit enough, you know what I mean? And I had the mindset. But when you sit in a room and you write a math test, it doesn't matter. It can be daunting for me, especially if someone's gotten... But now I went into that test with confidence. And the first year when I was writing tests, I was like, oh God, I hope I pass. You know, I hope this is an important, you know what I mean? Because, yeah, so it was a learning experience for sure.
And what would life be like now if you weren't willing to kind of suck it up and do that?
I don't know. I probably wouldn't still be in Cold Lake, but, you know, I wouldn't have had the life I had and seen the things I've seen across Canada being a SARTech. It definitely would have been different. And then I would have probably felt like it was always a dream of mine to push myself and do a job that was challenging. So it would have been probably very depressing just to, you know, I was working in engine bay, you know, go in, take the engine apart, put the engine back together. It was like Groundhog Day. You know, some people love that and will do that for a career, but it just wasn't what I liked. I was the kid that wanted to look out the window and didn't want to be in there. So I felt like even working as a narrow engine tech, when you're in a building, it's like you're in an office. You know, at least you're getting your hands dirty, but it wasn't what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. And yeah.
So it's like those dreams inside of you. And, you know, I think there's a lot of people in their 40s, like the age that we're at, and they still have those dreams they haven't realized for their career. Maybe, you know, you always wanted to be a, you know, I was just going to think of the word realtor, because I remember my mom always wanted to be a realtor and my dad wouldn't let her. This is like the age that we're living in now. Nobody, no husband now tells her wife what she can and cannot do. Oh, but no. But back in the olden days, you know, I think the husband really ran the show. But, you know, for a lot of people now, this is, you know, we're going to live to 90, 100 years old. We're only halfway through our life. And so there's a lot of dreams left in a lot of people listening to this, or maybe even for yourself, where you're like, you know, I always wanted to start my own business.
What's that saying your mom's boyfriend says? What's that?
Yeah. So Simon said, you know, make the rest of your life the best of your life. So if I figure, and that's our little Stormy trying to get in here, you have 40 years left, you have 50 years left. Like, why not make that the best? Like, what would your dream life be? You know, for that season of Jeff's life, it was being search and rescue. It was jumping out of an airplane. It was rescuing people. And all of the best experiences in our life come after the hard work. They come as a result of that. So, you know, even for myself, starting my own business, grinding it out, taking the risk, you know, oh gosh, the first time I made a website in 2008 when I called myself a life coach, and it was definitely not cool to be a life coach. Like, now everyone's a coach and it's like a badge of honor. Like, pretty much everyone is a coach. They promote themselves as a life coach. But back in 2008, when I was a professional psychotherapist and I took that name down and I put up life coach, not only life coach, but weight loss coach, it was like, oh my God, this is such cheese. But it takes courage to put yourself out there, put your dream out there. And not a lot of people are willing to do that. And so if you're not willing to do that now, when are you going to be willing to do that? Because one of the biggest things that, you know, when people are on their final days, they're going, you know, you don't want to be that person that's looking back and saying, you know, I could have done this, I should have done that. You know, had you quit, Jeff, and had you said, okay, well, I guess this isn't for me, you know, where would you be today? Same with me. And I know that the people listening, there's a lot of dreams inside of you that are yet to come to fruition. And so we hope that, you know, by offering up this podcast for you, that we can share some of our experiences with you and some of the mindset hacks and some health hacks and some things to build well so that you can make those decisions for your life. So yeah, so it all kind of came around. The search and rescue, moving, and like I said, everything started to go downstream, which is meaning that you are in alignment, right?
For sure, yeah. And now we're living the dream in Comox, you know, beautiful place. Kids are enjoying it. Actually, we got snow right now, which is kind of unheard of. So that kind of sucks.
Yeah, Canada's Hawaii is letting us down this week, but
And Aaron, you started. What did you start a? What do you call you, the rebels, the ageless rebels?
Yeah.
So
my new website, agelessrebels.ca, will be up and about here really soon, when you guys can go there and subscribe to this podcast, get into my Facebook group. And for those who are looking to create, you know, a really epic new chapter in your life. So, you know, for me, I got in the best shape of my life at 43. God, why did I wait so long? 43 years old, I got in the best shape of my life. You know, that's possible for you. What if this next chapter of your life, you were in the best physical health of your life, the best mental health of your life? You had more money. I mean, maybe your retirement plan right now is to work less but make less. What if you could work less and make more? These are all possibilities for you. And, you know, my purpose with Ageless Rebels is to really show people that you don't have to age, kind of like our parents and grandparents, where you just kind of waited to die. Maybe not our parents. Our parents, I think, are really living a full life. But if you think about your grandparents, you know, and what their retirements look like, it was, you know, for them, a lot of our grandparents didn't, they stopped dreaming. they stopped visualizing more. And I believe now that we're in this generation now where we can create pretty much the exact lifestyle of our dreams, and it's not too late for that.
No, yeah, well said, for sure. Okay, well, what do you think?
All right, guys, well, that's going to be our first episode here of our Ageless Rebels podcast.
I think we have to go to the beach and walk the dogs.
Yeah, it's time to hit the beach, go to the ocean, connect with nature. And so if you like this podcast, please share it with your friends. You can press the subscribe button. And when you're ready, you can write a review. So we'll be back here with more episodes for you guys and hoping that you can create, you know, a life that you love.
Have a great day.
Bye.